us. Take your Bibles to John chapter 1, if you will. Our theme is declare the gospel. We have a mandate from our Heavenly Father to share our faith. These have been unusual times, and we've still been going out and passing out brochures and gospel tracts and leaving them on doors. Twice during COVID, we went to the homes of all of our members with a gift bag, a lot of goodies in it, as well as printed material. And so we made that journey to a little over maybe 435 homes, different members' households. And so, but we're excited about sharing the gospel one-on-one, person-to-person. We're looking to see a great harvest of people trust Christ as their Savior. And I know these are unusual years, and I told our staff, we're backslidden Baptists. We have not been seeing a lot of people saved personally. But we are changing that. Just this last week, I went out on purpose and after quite a few doors, found a teenager that didn't know he was on his way to heaven. But now he does. And so glad he gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every week, I'm making a conscious effort to share the gospel and see people come to faith in Christ. I hope you'll join with me. And as a church, we will see many people led to Christ throughout this area and beyond, because we may find ourselves visiting other states during this year as well. And wherever we are, we want to be a good witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in John chapter 1, verse 35, and we're reading through the end of the chapter. Our theme, declare the gospel. We're starting out with the premise of invite. How do you start sharing the gospel? Well, you start by simply inviting someone else to come to church or to come to Christ. Come to Christ. Church is a good thing, but church doesn't save you. Christ saves us. And so we invite people to the Savior. And in this passage of Scripture, we have two individuals who start inviting others. One is a man named Andrew. The other is a man named Philip. And we're going to see that both of them reach out and start inviting people to Jesus. And our goal is to follow their example. And so I hope we'll let the Scripture speak to us about following their example and inviting others to the Savior. Now, our custom here is we stand as we read God's Word. So if you would, if you're able to, would you stand with us? If you're not able, just stay seated. That's fine. Be comfortable. But we're starting in verse 35 and reading down through verse 51, the end of the chapter. And the Bible says, "Again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples and looked upon Jesus as he walked, he said, 'Behold the Lamb of God.'" Now that's John the Baptist who's speaking about Jesus. "And two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus." Now these are two of John the Baptist's disciples. Remember, John the Baptist said about Jesus, "He must increase, but I must decrease." And that's true of all of us as Christians. We want to exalt Christ. We want to lower ourselves, be very humble about ourselves. And then in verse 38, it says, "Then Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, 'What seek ye?' And they said unto him, 'Rabbi,'" which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" "He saith to them, 'Come and see.' They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. By the way, while we're reading, notice that's the third time it says by interpretation. The best commentary on Scripture is always the Scripture. You can read a lot of books, but keep reading the Bible and it will tell you what it says and what it means. In verse 43, the next day or the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Now, so we know James and John were fishermen with Andrew and Peter. They were all four fishermen. We also know that Philip and Nathanael were of the same city. All six of those disciples are from that same small area called Bethsaida. Now, if you go over to Israel, they will show you what they believe to be the house that Peter lived in that city. And you will see that, and they have etched in stone some Christian words, and by that, the name Peter is found as well. So they believe that was his home in this city of Bethsaida. Now the Bible says in verse 43, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip said unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith unto him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip came, called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, and then you may be seated. Father, thank you for this time we get to assemble. We praise your holy name, Lord. There's so many places we could be this morning, but in your house is such a wonderful thing to gather with other believers. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll speak to our hearts by your word and by your spirit. And Lord, our prayer is also, if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know for sure that heaven is their eternal home, oh, that today they could make that decision to trust Christ as their Savior and know that heaven's their eternal home. Father, speak to all of our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. So we're looking at the subject of inviting others to Jesus. That's what Andrew did. He first found his own brother, Simon Peter, and brought him to Jesus. And that's what Philip did. Philip went to Nathanael. Now, Nathanael is also called Bartholomew. And many Bible scholars, if not most of them, believe that Nathanael is one and the same as the disciple who's called Bartholomew. Because Philip and Bartholomew's name are always mentioned together when Jesus lists the disciples in the Gospels. And so here we have potentially four of the original apostles, and two of them have invited two others to come to be with Jesus. And when we talk about sharing our faith in Jesus Christ, everyone begins at the level of just inviting. When I was 13 years of age, My pastor would go out visiting. My father and my pastor, me and my brother and my pastor's son. That was our visitation team. We had a small church of about 60, a very good church, but very small church. And maybe on a big day we would get up to 70 or something like that. And so I'd go with my pastor, and I had the important role of being the silent partner. And I was real good at that, because I didn't want to say anything. And so I didn't. I just hang out with my pastor, and he'd go make visits, and I'd just walk around with him or sit in someone's living room and listen to him talk to them. And so that was my job. But I learned to see people get saved. And I wanted people to come to faith in Christ, but I was very shy, so I didn't know how to do it exactly until I was maybe 16. But when I was 13, 14, and 15, the way I would do it is I'd find a friend that I went to school with, and I would ask them if they went to church anywhere. And they'd say, well, maybe not. And I'd say, would you mind coming to my church and be my guest? And they'd say, okay, I'll ask my mom, okay. And if they got permission, I would have my mother drive me over to my friend's house. We'd pick him up. He'd come for Sunday school and then sit in our small church and my pastor would preach. Now, my pastor would preach on all different subjects, of course, but he would always share the gospel at the end and give an invitation. And by the way, that used to be common a long time ago, remember? It's still common here, but it was common back then. And so my pastor would give an invitation. Now, I would sit with my buddy, and then I'd look over during the invitation, and I'd say, you want to go down front? And he'd look at me like, what does that mean? I'd say, my pastor's sharing how you can know for sure you go to heaven. And if you want to know for sure you're going to heaven, he can tell you how. And he will invite people to go down front so that he can pray with you or share the gospel with you. And if you want, I'll walk with you. And I'll go down with you. And they say, okay. And so I'd step out and I say, well, come on. And they look at me like, right now? Yeah, come on. In front of God and everybody. Yeah, come on. And so we would walk down and I'd go to my pastor. I'd say, Brother Sitton, this is Bill, and Bill doesn't know he's going to heaven and he wants to have Jesus in his heart. And my pastor says, is that right, Bill? And he goes, uh-huh. And so my pastor would talk to him and share Christ with him. Now, I was able to see several of my friends trust Christ as their Savior even when I was too shy to share the gospel, because I would bring them to church, I would invite them, and then my pastor would always share the gospel, and I'd do my best to get my friend down the aisle. Come with me. And sometimes they didn't know what they were doing, but pastor made sure they did. And so many of them got saved that way. It's called invite. It's where everyone starts. When I started Grandview Baptist Church, and I would go out and telling people about our new church that started in the Carpenter's Hall, I would give tracts to our people and say, invite somebody. By the way, that's why tracts are on these pews. So you grab those tracts and you give it to someone at McDonald's when you go through the drive-thru, or Starbucks, or wherever you go, or the dry cleaners, or when you see people, give them an invite. That's where we all start. After a while, people would say, now, I've given out tracts, but now people want to know, they start asking questions, and I don't know what to say. So then I started sharing with them, line upon line, precept upon precept, how they share the gospel. And so I'd go through God's plan of salvation as found in the book of Romans. All are sinners. We all deserve hell because of that. The wages of sin is death. And then that Christ paid our sin debt, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. and how we must all receive Christ as our Savior. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, the Lord hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And so I share the gospel. Then other members started sharing the gospel, and that's how we saw a lot of people come to faith in Christ. Well, because of COVID, we sort of have to jumpstart all over again, and we're starting with invite. We have a wonderful example of two men who will later become apostles. And remember, Jesus will send them out in a group of 72 by 2 to preach the gospel. But right now, they don't know how to preach the gospel. But they do know that they've met Jesus, and they want everyone else to meet Him. They do know how to invite people to Jesus. And if you've been saved, don't you want everybody to be saved? When you see what Christ has done in your life, don't you want Christ to do that in everybody else's life? When you knew that you were headed for hell, and now you're headed for heaven because of His grace and His forgiveness and what He did on Calvary for you, don't you want everybody also to go to heaven? I know I do. And so inviting is the first step we make in seeing people come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's such a wonderful way to begin sharing the gospel. And so here in this passage of Scripture, we see that Andrew went and found his brother, Peter, and then invited him to Christ. And Christ calls him Cephas, a stone. And then Philip goes and finds Nathanael, who is also Bartholomew. The Bible tells us it all starts with following Jesus. When we start following Jesus, all of a sudden, we want others to follow Him too. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, "And He said unto them, Follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men." By the way, let me apologize to everybody on this section. You can't see. Your monitors are out. That happened 2 weeks ago. We got the part we needed this week, only to find out it didn't work. Well, it's warranty, but that don't help us, so we had to go get another part. The monitors are fine. There's just a little piece that makes them work. And we'll have that next week, Lord willing. So everyone over here, just by faith, believe on this monitor is the words I'm saying. By faith. And it all starts with following Jesus. Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." So when we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, keep in mind He's speaking to men. Four of those disciples were fishermen. He said, "You've been fishing for fish." Now, those fishermen fished with nets. And sometimes they toiled all the night and caught nothing. But you're throwing heavyweight nets, not these little nylon things. They didn't have nylon. And so these nets, and just throwing them out and pulling them in and over and over and over, and sometimes catch very little. Fishing is a lot of work. Now, I've gone fishing a pretty good amount in my life. I don't like fishing, but I love catching. I love catching. I don't like just fishing. But I've found if I want to learn how to catch, I have to go with someone who's a better fisherman than I am. And I've learned also in sharing my faith, I learned by going with people who knew how to share their faith. Because it's better caught than taught. You will learn more about sharing your faith by seeing someone else share their faith, and you'll say, "I could do that." You could memorize all the verses in a Sunday school class and never share your faith. You have to learn to get over the fear of talking to someone. And what you're going to find is people are pretty nice when you know how to be nice in sharing your faith. And so here we learn to invite. When we follow Jesus, we learn to share Him with others. We are putting Christ first by denying ourselves. The Bible tells us in Matthew 16 and verse 24, "Then said Jesus unto His disciples, If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me." Now, whenever you're sharing Christ, you are denying yourself because that is not your natural inclination. That's not mine. I know people think, oh, you're a pastor. You just love talking to strangers about Jesus. No, I don't. I have to force myself. But I force myself because I know it's His will, not mine. And He's my master. I am not the master. Jesus is the master. Now, if you were talking to Miss Vicky, she loves to talk to strangers all day long. She'll go to the grocery store and go home with 10 good friends that she met in the aisle. I don't like to go with her. She's talking to strangers all the time. She'll go in a restaurant up to a man who's on his cell phone and said, "Now, with a pretty woman across the table, like your wife, why are you looking at your phone?" I said, "Honey, you're going to get us thrown out of a restaurant. Stop doing that." She does it all the time. I would never do that. She gets away with it. But if you follow Jesus, you want everybody to know about Him. Follow Me and I will make you fishers of men. That's His job. My job is just to follow. His job is to make me a fisher of men. And the best example we could ever have is Jesus Himself. Because He talked to all sorts of people. He talked to rich people. He talked to poor people. He talked to healthy people. He talked to sick people. He talked to educated people. He talked to the rest of us. He talked to everyone. And even lepers, He would touch them and say, "I will be thou clean." He cared for people that no one else cared about. What an example of sharing faith. Jesus is our ultimate example. Now, following Jesus leads to learning about Jesus. The closer we follow the Savior, the more we learn about the Savior. The more we learn about the Savior, the more we want to share about Jesus. You see, His own disciples, the two disciples of John the Baptist were following, and He turned around and says, "What seek ye?" And they said, "Well, we're wondering where you live." He said, "Well, come and see. Come follow Me." And that's what they did. The Bible says in Matthew 11, verse 29, "Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." So Jesus invites every one of us to learn about Him. And by the way, if you love Jesus, you want to learn more and more about Him. There's that hymn, "More About Jesus Would I Know." Yeah, we want to learn more about Him. When I was between my sophomore and junior year at Bible college, I went down to a small little city in Alabama called Ewan, Alabama. It was the city of Miss Vicki White, who later would become Miss Vicki Mutchler. And she had just graduated high school. And I was the intern for a summer and her youth pastor for a summer. So we didn't date a lot because youth pastor, she's the student. We had one date that summer. Not a date. We had a meal together, I should say. But it was a date since I took her to a restaurant. The night I was saying goodbye to her, and I'm going back to Bible college the next morning, she is going to nursing school, and I was talking with her, and I told her that I believe that God was going to show me the person I was going to marry my junior year, and I believe the young lady would be a freshman in Bible college. I already shared that with her. But when I was saying goodbye to her, the Lord spoke to me and said, "She's the one. She's the one." Now, I don't have God speaking to me all the time, I'll tell you. But in my mind, and I thought it was so audible, I thought she heard it. But she didn't. So I told her to pray about it. And she thought, "Pray about what?" But unbeknownst to me, she changed her mind about going to nursing school and thought she should go to Bible college and be a freshman in the same school that Mike Mutchler said he was going to find a wife. Okay. But she injured herself and had to come back to come to Bible college 2 weeks late. She was in traction for her back in Birmingham, Alabama. I had one Friday afternoon that I didn't have to work, so right after studies, right after 12, I drove down 5 hours to the hospital in Birmingham with a dozen roses and a nice card to spend 40 minutes with her before I got in the car and went 5 hours back to Bible college. And her mother said, "I think he likes you." She was a prophet and didn't know it. And when Miss Vicki finally got to Bible college, just 2 weeks late, the ladies of the dorm, it was a college of about 700 at the time, and the girls in the dorm would come up and say, "You're Mike Mutchler's girlfriend." And she'd say, "I am?" Like, what an honor. And no, I'm... Hey, I've added a little bit there. That I don't think she felt that way. She just thought, "I am? He hadn't let me know." But the idea is, when you love someone, you want to talk about them. And so I was just talking to people. But I'm telling you, in those 2 weeks, everyone on campus knew I had a girlfriend. They just didn't know. But I had showed them a picture because she gave me one picture of her. And so I'd say, "This is my girlfriend." Now, she don't know it yet, but she's my girlfriend. "I'm going to marry her. God told me." I didn't tell her that. So she came to Bible college. 2 months later, I proposed. She thought we'd go steady, but I said, "No, I want to go steady for life." And so I proposed. She dropped out of Bible college, prepared for a wedding. And when I ended my junior year, we got married. And one of the best things ever happened in my whole life, other than salvation, the very best thing. But let me say, it's when you love someone, you talk about them. And when you love Jesus, you want to talk about Him. And we want to invite others to come to Jesus. And so it's a good way. Now, in the early days, I did not know how to share Jesus as a young teenager. So I'd invite them to church where I knew my pastor was going to share the gospel every single service. I knew that. And here at Grandview Baptist Church, we make it a big deal in that we're going to share the gospel every single service. We want to do that. We never know everybody looks like they're saved, but we don't know. That's only you and God know that. So we want to share the gospel over and over and over again. So if you bring someone, they are going to hear the gospel. and have a chance and an opportunity to invite Christ in their life. It all starts with following the Lord Jesus Christ and then learning about Christ. And the more we learn, the more we love Him. And the more we love Him, the more we want to share Him. And so when we learn about Christ, we also learn about the Great Commission. You know, the Bible says in John 20, 21, "Then saith Jesus unto them, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And then in Mark 16, verse 15, it says, "And he said unto them, Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature." So the Great Commission by Christ is given in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts chapter 1, verse 8. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world." Hey, listen. Jerusalem's on the other side of the planet. This is the uttermost part of the world. And by the way, you and I live in a big mission field because we live in Oregon. I know this last 20 months, I've had very good friends and very sweet members leave to go to the Bible Belt, where people are more sane. I understand that. I understand that. But God put us here for a reason. I came here because it was the least unchurched state. It's still one of the top few that are unchurched. But this is where God wants us. We are missionaries. And we have a mission to tell others about Jesus. And we've got to do our very best to get the word out. And it starts with an invite. Invite them to Christ. Invite them to church. Invite them. Take every opportunity. And sometimes you have to invite people over and over and over again before they take you up on your invitation. My father is in heaven, has been for about 10 years. But he was saved as a teenager, then went off into the military, very young, into World War II, and was not living a very good Christian life because of an ungodly example of his sergeant. He'll tell you that. But when he survived World War II, he knew he wanted to get right with God because he saw his ungodly sergeant die in battle, spending the last minute of his life begging for God. And here's a guy who said he didn't believe in God. Now he's talking and begging for God. And so my father came back, got right with God, and my father made sure that every aunt, every uncle, every niece, every nephew, every cousin, every relative in my family knew Jesus Christ. And I do not know a single relative on my mom's side or my dad's side that did not come to faith in Christ if they weren't already a Christian. Because my father was like Andrew. And he went and found out a relative and told him about Jesus. My father was one of the boldest witnesses I ever saw. Loved to share Jesus. And he didn't care where he was, what he did. He worked for a factory one time and they said, "Jim, if you don't stop sharing Jesus, we're going to have to let you go." He said, "That's okay. Can I give my notice right now?" I said, "What do you mean?" "Well, I can't work for a place if I can't share Jesus." Because that's why he was there, is to share Jesus. And so he did everywhere. You and I are called by Christ to do the very same thing. We were all hell bound before we heard the gospel. Man, I'm so thankful I'm heaven bound. By the way, I do not deserve it one iota, but I am so thankful I know I'm going to heaven. And heaven's my eternal home. And as I get older, I look forward to that day. I'm so excited about one day getting to go to heaven. And because of that, there is no fear of death in my heart, because I know where I'm going when I die. But I sure would like everybody else to have that. We live in a world that is scared to death. And Jesus takes out fear. Perfect love casteth out fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. And so if we will turn to Christ, He replaces the fear with peace. And I want everybody else to have that as well. Our challenge to this church is, let's begin inviting. Our theme for the year is declare the gospel. I mean, before this year's over, we all ought to be like flaming evangelists. But we might not start out that way. Let's start out by at least inviting people. At least letting people know we care. At least letting people know Jesus cares. And He loves them. And in every piece of printed material we'll have out, it will share the gospel. And there will be people. I guarantee you, if we passed out every piece of this paper, I guarantee you that someone in this area is going to read that this week and pray and ask Jesus Christ to save them. I know that. Because the power is in the gospel. If people will read it, God will speak to hearts. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know if you died today you'd go to heaven. The greatest thing in all the world is to be able to lay your head at your pillow at night and know if you died in your sleep, you'd open your eyes in heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What a wonderful joy to know Jesus and know salvation. Maybe you're here and you've been to church and you've gone through rituals. But if you were asked, are you 100% sure that heaven's your eternal home? You'd say, I hope so. Well, hope so isn't good enough. When it comes to your eternal destiny, you want to know so. These things have I written in you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. 1 John 5:17, I guess. You want to know that heaven is your eternal home. And if you don't know that, you need to settle that. You need to make sure that Jesus is your Savior. You say, what would I do? All you have to do is ask Him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a promise that's given in His Word. You just ask and you will receive. There's never been a seeking sinner go to Jesus and go away disappointed because He wouldn't receive them. He will receive to the uttermost. The Bible says He'll save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. But if you have Jesus, you have salvation. And praise God, salvation is not for a day or a week or a month or a year. Salvation's forever. The very nature of salvation is Jesus Christ paid for all your sin on Calvary. But the very instant you ask Him to save you, all of your sin that He paid for 2,000 years ago are now given you as forgiveness and written down in heaven. And when God writes down your name in heaven, it's with indelible ink. Now, I know I grew up thinking, you know, you mess up and He has to erase your name. You get right, He writes your name again. If that were true, there'd be a hole where my name was. That eraser would so eat through the paper. so many times, but praise God, He knew what I was when He saved me. And He saved me of all my sin. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Praise God for that. And so if you've never settled that, would you do that this morning? I guarantee you it would be the best day of your life when you know that heaven's your eternal home. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to lead in a simple prayer. Nothing magic about the prayer. You can put it in your own words. But say something like this: Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I ask You to save me. Come into my heart and forgive me of all of my sin. Lord, I believe in You. I believe You died. I believe You were buried. I believe You rose again for me. And I thank You for forgiveness. In Jesus' name I pray. If you prayed that simple prayer and you meant it, salvation is yours. I wonder, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wouldn't embarrass anyone for the world. But I wonder if there's anyone here this morning who would say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer and I meant it. Would you just slip up your hand, slip it right back down? Is there anyone at all that would say, yes, I prayed that prayer? Anyone at all? Well, this morning we have a lot of Christians. But I wonder if you're here this morning and you're a believer and you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you say, Pastor, I love Jesus, and by God's grace, I'm going to do my best to invite somebody. By God's grace, I'm going to do my best. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. God bless you all over. Heavenly Father, we need Your help. We do love You. We often lack boldness. We're often afraid. But Lord, that fear didn't come from You. It came from someone else, our adversary. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to have faith instead of fear. Help us to invite others to a wonderful Savior. Now, Lord, speak to our hearts, because today there may be people who need to profess faith or maybe need to follow the Lord in baptism, or maybe You've spoken to them about placing their membership here. Lord, You speak to hearts about so many things. Maybe there's someone who just needs to come and have a word of prayer with an assistant pastor. Lord, speak to our hearts during this invitation. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. And let's all stand to our feet, if you will. If you're here this morning, you have a spiritual decision. Would you come? You can talk to any of our assistant pastors. You can tell them what God is wanting to do in your life and what you feel led of the Lord to do. Let God do something for you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, Christians are praying as others are coming. Let God do something to your heart. Bless you. You may be seated. Ushers, you have in your hand a card on declaring the gospel, and it's ways to invite people to Christ. We gave out last Sunday 24 touches or acts of kindness. If you did not get that, that's on our information desk. But ushers, will you come at this time and be passing those out? We have two ladies who have come this morning to place their membership here at Grandview Baptist Church. We have Pam Lewis, who has come. And Pam, where are you seated? Oh, right there on the third row. And Pam is a wonderful Christian lady. She volunteers at Grandview Christian Academy and is a wonderful help to our teachers and our school. And then also we have Christine Lenore. How do you pronounce that? I'm sorry, what? Lenore. Oh, I can't read my assistant pastor's writing. That is a K, huh? Lynn Kerr. Well, it's like a K I've never seen. But anyway, I want to have people know how to write print. And Christine has come to place her membership here in Grandview Baptist Church, just like Pam Lewis. All in favor of receiving these two wonderful ladies into the membership of Grandview Baptist Church, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. They've both been saved and baptized, and they're candidates, and they are now official members of Grandview Baptist Church. We make it so hard, but we are thrilled to have you ladies and look forward to serving the Lord for many years to come. We are going to watch the next video while the ushers are still passing out some of these cards. And let me say before then that I hope some of you will stop by the information desk and pick up the tickets to the banquet. It's at the Monarch Hotel across from the town center. And it is it's a catered banquet. They cook it right there. It's a delicious meal. In fact, it is... what we're paying for is the buffet. And so it's a buffet that they will feed us. It costs a lot more than the $30 per ticket. But we are subsidizing that. We want you there. We'll share, and then we'll take up pledges for the new building. And we are trusting God to do something very special in our hearts, as well as the parents of students of Grandview Christian Academy. With that in mind, let's watch the next video.
Good morning and welcome to our service. We hope this morning's sermon from Pastor Mutchler was a blessing to you. Join us back here tonight at 5 as we hear Pastor Justin Lehman continue our verse-by-verse series on the book of Nehemiah.
The Grandview Nursery is looking for volunteers to serve once or twice a month. If this is a place you'd like to serve, please sign up at the Welcome Desk or see Danny McAllister.
The Grandview Connection Sunday School class goes to the first week of February. If you have been unable to attend the special time of teaching and fellowship with Pastor and Miss Vicki Mutchler, plan to join them next Sunday morning at 10 a.m. in the church foyer.
The church live stream is in need of volunteers. Our sound booth, camera operation, lights, and TV displays all run from people like you. If you are interested in serving in this needy area, please sign up on the Welcome Desk or see Colby Pennington.
Don't forget to reserve your spot at our gym fundraiser banquet on Sunday, February 6th at 6 p.m. The cost is $30 per person and childcare is not provided. You can purchase your tickets in the foyer after the service or online at grandviewcares.com/give.
There will be ushers at the back door if you would like to give your offering as you exit. If this is your first time here, we want to answer your questions and get to know you. Please fill out a Connect card in the pew in front of you and bring it to guest services as you exit the auditorium. We would love to meet you and give you a gift card. Have a great afternoon and we'll see you tonight at 5.
God bless you. You're dismissed.